Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the weekly rant, rave, and review radio show where we talk all of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the past week's current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and this week's special guest co-host,
actor Stephen Fails.
You're also invited to call in and stand on my soapbox with us. Call now at 347-989-0126 to join the conversation. Now, here he is, stepping up to the microphone, your host, Scott Fullerton.
Woohoo! Guys, welcome. I am so glad that we're almost on season three in July because I hate that opening so bad. I just can't put any music behind it. Welcome to the show, everyone. It is Wednesday, May 17th. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. It's time to stand on my soapbox, talk about what's been happening this week and coming up for us in the areas of LGBT news, pop culture, little politics, and how they all intersect with each other. This week, I'm very excited to have as my special co-host, direct from his Confessions of a Mormon Boy debut. I don't know if he has a debut. I think he's been there before, Dublin, Ireland. It's the one and only Stephen Fails. Stephen Fails, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Scott. It's great to be back. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. You know, I love you on the show. We've had you on a few times on Left of Straight Show. It's fun to kind of let loose and have a little fun on a little pop culture day.
I know, right? Lots to talk about today.
So much going on as it goes on so quickly. If you guys want to join the conversation, I see a couple of you listening. Feel free. Don't be shy. 347-989-0126. You won't miss anything because you hear the show going on while you're on hold there, and I can see you calling in. So we'll get to everyone as they can, or if you just want to listen, that's fine too. How's things going? You got to be a tired puppy dog. You didn't this whirlwind trip, eh?
You know what? I don't want to admit how tired I am, but I got back to Salt Lake City late last night after this, you know, a whole week in Dublin, Ireland, and then a week in New York, and I got in around 2 o'clock in the morning last night, and I'm doing good. I think I'll hit a wall in about 2 hours, still fighting that European jet lag a little bit. But I'm glad to be on the show. And, you know, the Dublin International Gay Theater Festival. So I can't wait to talk all about it. And, you know, it's just the neatest festival there is. So.
Well, it sounds amazing. For those that don't follow Stephen on Instagram and all social media, shame on you. We'll give you that information later. But it's such great pictures. And I don't usually like to travel internationally. I'm not a big traveler that way. I love to go Canada, Mexico, Hawaii, around the States. Just not a big international traveler. But one of the places I've always wanted to go to is Scotland, Ireland, England, and then Australia. So that's one of the four on my list. If I ever because I love mythology, but other than that.
Well, you should go next, like it's every May, the first 2 weeks of May. Go next May. You could interview all of the artists from around the world, see all the gay theater. You will love it, and they are so nice over there. All of a sudden, I got really excited for you.
That would be amazing. I'll have to raise some money for both of us to go. You'll be my little Tommy tour guide for me and take me around everywhere.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. I'll hook you up with the artistic director there. You could just, like, interview, you know, and you'll just love the people, the culture. It's so friendly, and it's more economical than you might think. I'll hook you up with some of my bed and breakfast that I stayed at. It's really reasonable. He'll take good care of you.
We'll definitely be in touch. I love that. That could be a great idea. I need to go do that. So I think that could be fun. Well, I appreciate you taking the camera. We're going to have Jeff Donnell. The little promo said Jeff Donnell is going to be on here. Great actor from the web series You and the Me. He's done so many other things. He had a last-minute audition come up in L.A., and as you know, Stephen, is an actor's life, if you turn down an audition, you may turn down the next best role on TV and not even know about it, right?
Right, and you guys are in L.A., so they're constantly going on, you know, the auditions. I was just listening to the audition song of La La Land. I still love La La Land. I cried in it. It spoke to my dreams, and I don't know, talk about audition, that song, that just crossed my mind, so there we are. I'm going to be a little punchy because I haven't slept in a while. So my
That's
humor
okay.
might go
we're
all
good.
Over the place.
I
you just rein me in.
That was one of our things. You know, I took my mom for our 8-day adventure in L.A. the 1st of April. And that was one of the places we ate at was the Hickory Room, that's featured in La La Land there, that bar. So we ate dinner there and took some pictures at the bar, and it was fun. So I'm with you there.
Did you have just the best time with your mom? I haven't talked to you since you got back.
I got to tell you, it was so nice. It went totally off the rails. Every plan that we had planned really didn't happen, except for my big party for everybody, which was phenomenal. We had a great time. But everything we planned on doing didn't work, but we ended up having such a good time there. The weather was good. The people were amazing. We got my brother is a Ventura County Sheriff down there in Southern California, so we got to spend more time in him than we thought. And just had a great time. So thanks for asking. It was great. It would have been my mom's 50th anniversary with my dad, so it was a real fun, special time with her, and we got to go see my dad. My dad's buried out in L.A. We were born and raised out there. My parents lived 43 years in L.A. They're both from back east here, where I'm at here in Northeast Ohio. But they moved when they were younger and met in high school in California, had me and my brothers. They lived there 43 years. Me and my brothers, that's all we knew for most of our lives. But so my dad bought their cemetery plots when they were living there like 40 years ago. And of course, then we're back here in Ohio and he passes away. And now we have to go back to LA to bury him and have to go visit him in LA. So it was kind of nice for the 50th anniversary that she could go visit dad because he's not like right down the block where people are. So it's pretty funny and sad.
It's a great, what a love story to go back to Los Angeles, you know, come hell or high water, death or life, you know, what a great, beautiful love story. That's awesome.
It really was touching that we got to go there for so she could spend it with him. So that was kind of way cool. So yeah, definitely enjoyed it. Give us a little hint now. I mean, we've had you on the show. We've talked about Confessions of a Mormon Boy. But is this your first or second time going to the festival? It sounds like you might have been there before with it.
Well, I was there in 2008, so I was asked back, and apparently I'm one of only two people he's ever asked back, and so it was a real honor.
Congrats.
The first time I was there, we were a breakout hit, and, you know, the sales were amazing and the reviews, and then I was nominated for the Oscar Wilde Award nomination for Outstanding New Writing in the Theater for Confessions of a Mormon Boy. This time around, it was kind of an encore return, so I wasn't up for any awards. But I just tried to see as many other shows as I could, meet the other artists. That's always the best part of any festival, is meeting the other artists. And getting to see Brian Merriman, who's the artistic director, and everyone there is, you know, what they're doing is really unique. There's no gay theater festivals. And there's a need for a gay theater festival that really specializes in highlighting the gay artists all over the world, where we can really come and you know that it's going to be gay themed. You know, we're in danger of losing our gay theaters and our gay bookstores
right.
as we assimilate into mainstream culture. But there is a time for us to all converge into the land of Oscar Wilde, you know, who is, you know, that famous gay playwright.
Of course.
And everything. And figure in history. So to be there in the land of Oscar Wilde and to all cross, you know, rub shoulders. And the thing about the festival and the work that's chosen is it's not the commercial stuff that you might find just in town where I get to go this summer and perform. But you're getting stuff that's a risk. That's really the heart and soul of the gay soul. So it's artistically so fulfilling to be there.
I love
there.
That.
So
a lot of one person shows and small one acts and everything.
Yes, and there have been musicals and cabaret acts and plays, full out plays, full ensembles. Just about everything. So it's not just other solo performers, but we do show up. There was one from Mexico, Confessions of a Mexican Outcast. There was this lesbian show called The Elephant Girls, I believe, about this lesbian gang in London. That's a true story. All these true stories that you would never hear anywhere else but to come to this festival. So from all over the world, we're bringing unique points of view, not just the latest, here in, and I don't want to disparage Dustin Lance Black, but sometimes I think our activism and our art gets really contrived and really polished, and it's not raw, and it's not
right. I know what you're saying.
It's not real. You know what I mean? So there in Dublin, we really can get to the art of things and the art of the stories. And
that is amazing. Well, we're going to be talking about that throughout the show today. Again, if you want to call in, 347-989-0126. Got all sorts of fun things to talk about. Let's start with a little pop culture. Of course, Will and Grace, which was a touchstone for so many gay people seeing the first time on television, even though it was maybe characterized a little bit or cartoonized a little bit. They're coming back, and it looks better than ever. Have you got to see the preview for it yet?
You know, I've been seeing the billboards and things. I haven't watched any reels. But it looks, you know, it's very worthy to bring it back with to see, you know, maybe what their points of view are now. So we'll see. Did you hear about the Roseanne reboot?
Yes, that's craziness. I heard that today. And we're talking the entire original cast from what I hear. They're even bringing back the original Becky. Remember how they replaced Becky halfway through with Sarah Chalk?
Uh-huh.
They're bringing back the original Becky and the second Becky and turning the second Becky into a different character. They're bringing everyone back.
Well, I think this is a dream come true for Roseanne. You know, I've been a little tired of Roseanne in the past year, and sometimes really upset with her, actually.
Right.
And I have an interesting little story about rubbing shoulders with her son and some things that I may or may not share. I think, in this age of Trump, why not bring, you know, Roseanne and her point of view?
It's going to be interesting relevant. Because I don't know what they're going to be able to do now. I mean, they went off the air, I think, in 97. So what, 19 years? So it's a long time. The characters are obviously very grown. They're bringing back her husband, Dan, who was, of course, killed off. So it'll be interesting how that goes. Sarah Gilbert has come out in real life. How they work with that into the show is going to be interesting. So it has a lot of interesting possibilities to it. So we'll kind of give it a pass and see what happens. It's going to be the second half of the season, I think, next year.
It'll be interesting to see if Roseanne's character, if it's evolved, is it the same? And if it's that same back from the 80s, is she relevant today? So given
right.
her for getting this this reboot, let's see if it's worth all the fuss. I definitely think it's more newsworthy than the Will and Grace reboot. So I would definitely want to see an episode of Roseanne in this reboot before Will and Grace. That's just me, just because Roseanne is far more iconic in a lot of ways. If you go way back.
Well, it was definitely a lot more of a touchstone. It wrote with a lot of issues. I think Will and Grace was kind of a polished show to kind of get by everything for being one of the first and few LGBT shows on TV. So I think it was very lighthearted. I guess that's the best way to say it. I will say the cast looked better than ever. They probably should have waited to do the show till now. Because I think they look better. It seems like they're a little more mature. They still have the silliness, though. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I think you're right.
You
I think Roseanne is a lot more of an important of a series. But we'll see. But Will and Grace was a fun series. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I don't know that I can. You know, I still have a problem with Jack coming out so late. You know, it's such a bait and switch. You know. Anyhow, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll let it slide and we'll see how it happens, and we'll have to come back and confab again after the both shows have premiered. We'll have to compare notes here. Now, do you watch
Sounds
Sense8,
good.
The movie on Netflix at all? Do you have Netflix?
No, I haven't watched it.
Sense8 is my new favorite show. It started last year. It's on season two. Season two just released about maybe 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, at least on a Friday. And, of course, I binge-watched the entire thing, too. You really have to watch the first season, though. You can't – because it's such a complicated show. But it's so well done. And so season two has premiered. And they finally – I was wondering when they're going to show the scene, because one of the things I like about it, it's eight people all over the world. And they each have a mental link to each other. And so it's a little kind of sci-fi-ish, but very gritty and real. The film aspect of it is very grounded, makes it very kind of today and kind of cool. But they have these eight people all over the world. Two of them are LGBT. One is kind of a hippy-dippy girl, computer genius in San Francisco with her lesbian lover. And one is a in-the-closet actor in Spain where his lover is like his assistant and gets outed in the first season. So they have these two great characters along with all these other six other characters that are comprised like an Indian woman who's amazing, this Oriental woman who's a business person and knows martial arts, and a German kind of hitman kind of guy, turns out to be like a hitman, and an Indian bus driver, or no, South African bus driver. So they have these real interesting characters everywhere, and they end up linking up mentally. So it's really hard to explain, but they had the
totally intriguing. Sounds really fresh.
It's fresh. You got to see it when you have, if you have Netflix, you got to watch, got to start from season one. But the season two, they just, I think it was like the third or fourth episode in, but the Spanish guy, his lover did basically a From Here to Eternity beach scene. It was so gorgeous, so well shot. The two of them kind of just showing the love for each other, kind of stripping down to the little tidy whities and going out on the beach and rollicking. And they do sex scenes so well where it's like not gratuitous, but it's very full and loving and things like that. And so I just saw that it was picked up on the internet, their little romp on the beach scene. So I thought that was kind of amusing. But yeah, it's a great show. You have to watch it sometime. It's a pop culture hit. But you can only see it on Netflix right now, unfortunately.
Well, I'll definitely put that on my wish list. You know, right now I'm totally – I just came from, you know, a week of theater in Dublin and then a week of theater in New York. So I'm – like my head is in Broadway and, you know, and seeing those shows and then, like, a lot of the live theater. And I saw a lot of solo shows in New York. So I need to turn the TV on and get caught up. I'm totally behind. So thank you. Thank you for letting me, you know, giving me
a
little
catch me up
on the TV.
You know, I'm a huge New York fan and love the theater scene there. So much always happening there. Also, another weird thing today, Twitter changed its thing. The Twitter has gone to the Instagram route, and I honestly just found this out right before the show because I signed on to my Twitter. And there was a big pop-up screen there. That they're going to start filtering your content now based on what they think's important to you now. I hate that. I hate that so much. But Twitter's starting now. It's because you lose so many of your friends because if you don't interact in certain things, you never see some of your friends you have. I want to know all my friends kind of real time. And if I'm sure the stream goes by so fast, you miss a lot of people, granted. But I don't like these curated things like Instagram and Facebook and things do. So Twitter's joined the bandwagon as of today. I'm not real happy about that.
Well, that's good to know. Then you know, when we know if it's, you know, kind of contrived. That's my word today, is contrived. You know, things are – I hate to be manipulated especially without knowing. If I know you're manipulating me, that's one thing. But if I don't know you're manipulating me –
If you manipulate me to my face, that's one thing. But behind my back, that's a whole different can of worms.
Manipulate me. Let me in on the manipulation. Then we can have fun. Otherwise, I don't like it.
What's hitting your hot button these days? Anything hitting your in pop culture or news or politics or anything?
Well, I guess, Broadway right now. You know, the Tonys are coming up. In the future here. You know, I've been looking, you know, I haven't been able to see half the shows, but I did see an amazing play. And sometimes they get musicals out, believe it or not. And I was like, I had a little cash. I'm like, I need to see a play. So I chose, there were a lot of things to choose from. I could have seen The Little Foxes or Six Degrees of Separation, these great revivals. But I wanted something new and something I could get in on a TKTS ticket. And so on a Wednesday afternoon, I went and saw this Tony-nominated play called A Doll's House Part 2. And it really appealed to my artiste. You know, I have an MFA in acting, so I studied a lot of dramatic literature. And A Doll's House is one of the all-time greatest plays of all time. And so this, I was like, it's so audacious to do a sequel, a part two.
Yeah.
So I went, and it was just such an explosion of ideas. It was so well done. I thought it was so timely, and it just made me want to go see a lot more plays there in New York. So there's one called Indecent that's getting a lot of buzz.
Nice.
It has a lot of lesbian themes. So, yeah, and then I saw Ben Renlauer's he has a very famous solo show called Patty Issues, about
right.
an obsession with Patty LuPone and also with his relationship with his gay father. And so it all blends into this one-hour monologue that's multi-layered, fascinating, makes you want to give him a big hug, makes you want to go listen to all the Patty LuPone CDs that there are out there. And so I'm so glad that I finally got to see Ben Renlauer's Patty Issues. And it was at the Duplex where it originated. So I guess my year is complete now that I saw that finally.
I'm so happy to hear that. He's a good friend of my buddy Alexander Rodriguez, who does On the Rocks radio show in L.A. He brought Patty Issues to L.A. about a month ago or so, and was just a huge hit. So I've heard all about him, but I never got to see him in person. And he just seems like a pretty amazing guy.
Yeah. He's definitely a player in the solo world, and he's getting out there. I think he's going to UC Berkeley soon. He'll be in Provincetown at the Art House later this summer. We'll be playing at different times. I'll be at the Crown and Anchor. And by the way, get your tickets now. It's July 30th through August 8th. I'll be there over Family Week. Doing 9 shows of Confessions of a Mormon Boy. And I'm glad I'll be doing it at Family Week because there'll be a lot of families, and my show ultimately is about being a dad. And it's my son's birthday today, so happy birthday, Chris. And
ooh, happy birthday, Chris. That's awesome. That's so nice you got to be back in town. Now, I hope he's in town. Is he in town?
No, he skipped town the 2 days before I got here. He was staying in my place. He just graduated from college. I was like, hey, watch my place while I was gone. And now he's out camping for the week, so I will see him when he gets back. He's out with his
friends.
There
you go. Well, happy birthday to him. Hope he enjoys his camping trip there. I can't wait. I think Mom and I are going to head up and see you. I think we're going to be there the second of August, I think. I'm not sure. We're looking to see right now. We're kind of working our way into it. Well, I've never been there before,
so. Oh, you will be in Gay Shangri-La. And the weather is amazing. There's so much entertainment to see, so many galleries. There's a guy named Curtis, the Cusp Gallery. He's a photography and a visual artist, and he just had a gallery that opened. Just open there. You should get him on your show. You definitely should. Curtis Spear, I think his name is.
Have to email me and remind me because I would love to do that. That would be fantastic. And the Crown and Anchor is just iconic. Your show there is like at the most iconic place there in the entire Provincetown because I've never been there, but I've heard of Crown and Anchor like 1.5 million times. So that's going to be an awesome show.
Thank you so much. Rick Murray, who runs the whole thing. He put me on his schedule this year, and I'm going to do him proud. I'm going to go look at it as hot as I can. You know, you have to bark the shows. The thing about P-Town is no matter how big a star you are, unless you're like Patti LuPone or Bernadette Peters coming in, you have to go out there and fight for your ticket sales before the shows. And it has that festival. It's like you're barking at a carnival, and it's part of the charm. And so tickets usually – The houses that sell well are the guys who are out there with their postcards, like I will be, and getting it into the show. So I'm thrilled that you get to experience Provincetown. That is nothing like it.
It's going to be exciting. I can't wait. One of the things I want to talk about in LGBT news, and like I said, this kind of coordinates a bunch of different sectors there. it's so funny. This Tim Allen, talking about TV, Tim Allen's show Last Man Standing got canceled. I don't know. Have you ever seen that show?
I know Tim Allen. I don't know him, but I don't know this show, but he's had a lot of shows. So it got canceled. Why?
Well, it's kind of controversial because his latest show, it's called Last Man Standing. I've seen it. I think it's pretty funny. Tim Allen himself is a conservative guy. The show is a conservative guy. The show is always kind of ragging on Democrats and everything and very pro-conservative, which is fine. I mean, it's a show. It's in the comedy. That's what it should be. And that's his thing and it's his show. So, but the show's been on, I think, 6 or 7 years now. And
it's a good run. That's a good run.
It's a good run.
Know, we could stop right there and go, that's a good run.
Exactly. It's been on ABC, and ABC is eliminating its Friday night comedy. So that's the reason they're saying that they're eliminating Friday night comedy. The ratings have been good, but not stellar. Like, you had to keep it, and they're eliminating that block, and they didn't think it would fit in an earlier block because they don't, you know, ABC doesn't do a lot of comedies. They do a lot of the drama. They have that Thursday night Shonda Rhimes night. Friday was their comedy night. They had different kind of ways to set things in, and they just didn't feel that he would fit in other time, so they canceled him. Well, he's had over 240,000 petitions to change.org, so it's upset a lot of people. It's not just one person. But the story I want to refer to is there is this lady. Her name is Debbie Odin Massey. And she found out about the cancellation, and it's her absolutely favorite show. And she just went on a Facebook rant about the cancellation, not just because it was canceled. She didn't stop there that how bad ABC was for canceling it. She had to move beyond the pale and say that ABC is now just a gay and lesbian loving channel, that all they want to do is show gay content like Grey's Anatomy and Nashville, and they're trying to indoctrinate everyone that the gay lifestyle is okay, and just kind of blathered on, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
typical stuff you see before. And usually when you hear that, you kind of think that it's just a wacky girl that never leaves her house and watches a lot of TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out she is the executive director of the Madison Rivergate Chamber of Commerce in Tennessee. Now, I've never heard of Madison Rivergate, so I'm sure it's not a huge community, but she is still a paid executive director of that. And after her rant went viral this past weekend, I think she did it Saturday, on Monday they called an emergency board meeting and fired her on the spot.
Wow.
Yeah, can you believe that? I think that was amazing that they kind of jumped that in the bud. But the better part of it, and like, I don't like anyone getting fired, and but especially if you're going to do seriously homophobic rants on your Facebook page and you are a public person, like an executive director of a chamber of commerce for an entire city, I think there's got to be consequences. So I'm okay with that. But the best part of it is what the chamber of commerce also voted on that same night. They decided to ask her to step down. Basically, they took additional steps. They reached out to the LGBTQ businesses in town to encourage diversity in their community, as well as they joined the Tennessee Thrives organization, which is an anti-discrimination initiative in the state of Tennessee. And they're going to have their chamber members begin diversity training, and a new policy regarding social media posts will be implemented. So all that happened from this. So a lot of good is happening from this one very vile kind of rant on Facebook, but look at all the good things that's happening, and it's kind of cool. So it turns out to be pretty good overall.
Wow, that all happened very fast. A domino of positive stuff coming out of her negative rant.
Exactly.
Good.
United
good,
Airlines,
good. I'm glad.
Take notes like that. if you want to do something right, you take care. Nip it in the bud right away and turn to a positive, which these guys did. So I thought that was kind of very cool.
Right there in Tennessee.
Right there in Tennessee. Who would have thunk it, huh?
Yeah, is it close to Nashville? Is it close to Memphis? Where is it?
I have no idea. I haven't looked it up, to be honest with you. I just know that it's called the Madison Rivergate. Actually, what we're going to do, we've been a half hour into it. I can't believe it's going so fast. Let's go ahead and take a quick little. We're going to play a little bit of, I know you and I talked over social media. You and I love little Randy Rainbow, right?
Right.
And his new parody is
I'm dropping already.
Oh, it's so good. It's about based on the Rainbow Connection, and it's we're going to let you listen to Randy Rainbow's newest parody on our good old President Number 45. This is A Russian Connection by Randy Rainbow. You listen to Left of Straight Show with Stephen Fales. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Thanks for sitting down with me. Again. Mr. Not My President, it has been an eventful few days, to say the very least, and so I want to go ahead and get right to the most critical matters at hand. Abby Lee Miller, do you think a year in the slammer was too harsh a sentence? Or do you watch Dance Moms?
No.
Okay, let's move on to now former FBI Director James Comey.
Look, he's a showboat, he's a grandstander.
A showboat? Well, those are pretty harsh words coming from the Titanic. People are concerned about the shifting narrative from your administration about how and why he was fired. You say you'd been planning to fire him. White House spokesperson Sarah Huckleberry Sandbag says it was the recommendation of the Deputy Attorney General. Oh, and Kellyanne Conway says that he wasn't fired at all, but that he actually won American Idol and he's just on tour promoting his new album.
What difference does it make?
I feel like it makes a difference.
I want to find out. I want to get to the bottom.
Well, you've come to the right place. Let's take a look at the letter you sent to Mr. Comey, which recently leaked. In it, you say, quote, "Hey, babe, how are you? Hey, remember that time at Applebee's when I asked you if I was being investigated and you were all, what investigation? Open parentheses, LOL, suck it, all you haters reading this right now. I told you so. Cash me outside. Close parentheses. Thanks again. By the way, you're fired. Sorry." Did you actually ask him if you were under investigation?
I actually asked him, yes. I said, if it's possible, would you let me know, am I under investigation? He said, you are not under investigation.
But he's given sworn testimony that there is.
Look, I have nothing to do. This was set up by the Democrats. There is no collusion between me and my campaign and the Russians.
Why are there so many lies and deceptions? And what have you got to hide? You try to block the FBI's interceptions. Your actions are unjustified.
I have nothing to do with Russia.
You say showboating, but that's just scapegoating. I think you're staging a coup.
I think it's a good thing, not a bad thing.
One day they'll find it, the Russian connection, the hustlers, the cheaters, and you. All of you under his spell. We know that there's probably collusion. Come on, sing with me.
No, I'm not doing that.
How can you sleep at night with so many secrets? And when will you run out of luck?
Hey, isn't this the swamp you were gonna drain?
You think you look as though you have all the answers, but you just look shady as And since you're fixing to Trump Richard Nixon, your days are numbered and few. Someday they'll find it, the Russian connection, the covers, schemers, and you. Lie, deceit, lie, 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 lie. Deceit, lie, deceit, lie, collusion.
I have nothing to do with Russia.
Okay.
And we are back. That is Randy Rainbow, of course, with the Rainbow Connection, Russian Connection parody. Love Randy Rainbow. So much fun. Guys, my special co-host today is Stephen Fales, of course, the writer, producer, and star of Confessions of a Mormon Boy. Let's talk more about this trip. You are in Dublin, Ireland. Talk about that. I mean, you always want to know, if when you're American, what places are gay-friendly there. So obviously, Dublin's got to be a little gay-friendly to have a festival. What's it like traveling through? Do you ever feel you do a lot of traveling? What's it like to be traveling?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Ireland that is so amazing. You know, it's a pretty Catholic country. It was one of the last countries to decriminalize homosexuality. I think it was in 1993. They finally decriminalized it there. Well, guess what was the first country to allow gay marriage in Europe? Ireland.
Really?
Ireland, yes. In 2015, they have a huge referendum. It is now, you know, so gay-friendly, you just can't believe it. And I would be with the taxi drivers and say, why are you in town? I'm here at the gay theater festival. Like, oh, la, la. You know, I just couldn't believe how gay-friendly everyone seems. And the festival is thriving. Next year will be the 15th year of the International Dublin Gay Theater Festival. And so it's just, I can't speak more highly of it. I think everyone should go over and experience Ireland. One day, my last day there, you know, I had done all these shows, and then we were sellouts, thank you. And then I had one day, so I got on the train in Dublin, and I went about 2 hours and 15 minutes or so to the other side, to the west side of the country, to this little seaside village called Galway. And I wanted to go there because I had my uncle, who's 6 years older than me, he's like a big brother. My uncle John served his Mormon mission and would write us letters from Galway, and I had to go for the day. I had the most magical time. It was uncharacteristically sunny, and they have this one area in the bay, and it's called the Quay. You know, these walls that hold in the bay, and they're very ancient. There were like hundreds and hundreds of swans. It was
You're kidding.
Most magical.
Wow.
Swans, hundreds. You can't even count them all. I just spent this magical day by myself. I bought this. I spent a few shekels there. I bought this beautiful handmade. Hand-knitted wool sweater that I can always keep as a souvenir. I think I'll give it to my son. and then I can.
What's a shekel,
you know,
compared to U.S. money? What's the currency right now? Is it good or bad going over there?
I just say shekels, coins. They have euros, so it's about a dollar per euro. It's about even, Stephen. Pun intended.
Right.
So it's not. You know, when you go over to London, it's a lot more expensive. So I think the bang for your buck, the history you'll see. I got so excited about social justice, the whole revolution of the Easter Rebellion in 1916, and then their independence from the British Empire finally in 1922. And you just get filled with humanity. All the great writers were Irish. The amazing architecture from the Georgian period. I mean, it's one of the most romantic countries, and I really need to go back with a boyfriend next time. So,
that would be nice. And where do you fly into? Do you actually fly into Dublin, or do you fly someplace else and travel there? Or?
I flew to London and then over on Aer Lingus, but when I flew home, I flew directly from Dublin to Newark. And so they have all kinds of nonstops. Aer Lingus is a charming little lucky charm there of a four-leaf. I think their four-leaf clover is their symbol on their planes. But I can't.
That's
and then the pubs. You've got to see the pubs. Have a pint of Guinness. You know, I'm into moderation these days, so a little pint was not out of bounds for me. And and then it was a gin bar and the gay bars. You just wouldn't believe the gay culture going on in Dublin. So go over.
Yeah,
tell
me. Give me the experience of a gay bar in Dublin, Ireland. What's that experience like?
Well, there was George's, or the George, I think it's called. And I walk in. It's a Saturday night, and every night there would be a new meeting place, a new bar where the festival participants would converge and we would compare notes and we cross market and all that. So this one night, it was a Saturday night, it was called the George. We walked in. It reminded me of what Splash used to be in New York with all that good, those good vibrations, except not the Go-Go Boys. It was the drag queen. The drag scene in Dublin is on fire. And,
oh, really?
And it was this two-story, two stories of the bar and going way back and all the charm of it, and then this huge stage, and the drag acts were just one after the next, after the next, after the next, you know, one after another.
Nice.
And this one act, three of the, it seemed like all the drag queens in Ireland have a different shade of red hair. It was the most, it was so Irish.
That's so Irish.
And beautiful.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's called the George. It's in the Temple Bar area of historic Dublin. So I could go on and on. There was a gin bar that I experienced. It was so cool.
Nice.
I had a gin and tonic that I don't think I'll ever have made like this gin and tonic bar makes. So there you are. It was so magical.
Cool. I'm not a big drinker, but I just imagine what the pubs and the just love to go look, just to look inside and just to see the little atmosphere and the small town feel and the pints going around. I think that'd be amazing. Even though I don't drink, it would just be so much fun to go to like every little bar I found there. I think that would be cool.
Oh yeah. And then eating, there's high end food. And then, you know, the fish and chips and the Irish stew and all those Irish dishes that have been, you know, come over here to America and, you know, are a staple here where you get the real deal there in Dublin. I've got to go back.
That sounds amazing. God, I'm so glad we were able to talk about this today. Let's go a little bit of, I found out today that it's International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. Why I didn't know that, I don't know. But I guess it's May 17th. And so congratulations or happy anti-homophobia, transphobia, and biphobia. But speaking of bisexual, I mentioned on my show this week, and I'm so excited. We had two high-profile bisexuals come out this weekend, one a character on television and one in real life. One of my favorite television right now is Madam Secretary with Tia Leone, and her assistant, Blake, came out as officially as Blake, as a character. The character came out as bisexual on the show this past Sunday. And it had two amazing scenes. One scene of him and they went to a summit and he met an old, what they kind of billed in the beginning as a rival of his old college days. And they end up meeting at a bar accidentally kind of, and they find out that they used to date. And they go about this whole thing, and the guy kind of calls him out for not really being out anymore. And Blake goes, well, I'm bisexual. And he says, okay. And he says, well, you should still be able to be out about that. And so that's in the middle of the episode. At the very end of the episode, he comes out to Madam Secretary very, very charmingly, very funnily, but very Blake-ish, if you know the character at all. And she's sitting in her car in her motorcade getting ready to leave away, and he's doing this through the window, and he starts to walk away, and she just gets out of the car and walks over to him. He's walking away and gives him a big hug, and the two looking into each of their eyes, this hug, to see his kind of revelation in his eyes that it's okay with her, and to see the kind of love in her eyes for him confiding in her was such a great scene. So two great scenes on television for a character coming out as bisexual.
And he's so likable. He's such a likable, I see his social media. I saw him in Jersey Boys. He's such a likable actor, right? I'm so happy for his success.
I am so he's like, I'm so in love with this guy. And he's so cool. Like I said, he has a great social media. I did see him in Jersey Boys. Those who only Madam Secretary, he was in the movie Jersey Boys, not on Broadway ever. He was in the movie Jersey Boys. He's like a really good friend of Scott Nevins, who's kind of a social friend of mine. And I've always kind of wanted to say, please hook me up, but I haven't done it yet because I just don't like doing that to people. I don't like using friends to ask for friends as much as I should, even though since I have a radio show, I probably should. But Yeah, Scott Nevins calls him his
great
boyfriend.
All in good time. I could see this happening very soon.
I just think he's an amazing person to begin with, and this character was great. But then my inner comic geek, and those who listen to my show regularly, I am a huge comic geek as it is. So The Flash on the CW channel, Kid Flash, Wally West, his name is Kenan Lonsdale, terrific black actor, beautiful young guy, probably, I don't know how old he is, probably somewhere between 20 and 24, who knows. But he came out as bisexual himself, as a real life person, on Saturday with an amazing Instagram tweet, or Instagram post, talking about, I like different things. I like to dress fun. I like to change my hair up. I like girls. I like boys. And I'm not hiding who I am anymore. And it was just a very profound little thing. So I encourage anyone, if you're a comic book fan, it's kind of cool that the guy that portrays Kid Flash came out as bisexual in a very touching and moving way. You can check out his social media, and it was very cool. So it was a great weekend of bisexuality. How funny.
Right. Well, here's my question. If I have slept with one woman 1,000 times and 1,000 men at least once, am I bi?
Oh, that's funny. I don't know.
If I'm not sleeping with anyone in the last year, am I sexual at all? I guess I'm asexual.
Exactly, that's my big question. I mean, do I have a sex life anymore? we won't even go there. That just makes me depressed. But yeah, the bisexual community gets a pretty bad rap a lot of time.
Here's the tricky thing with all of my life experience still. You know, with women and with men, you know, I have children, I have two biological children, and I identify as gay now, but am I technically bi, and I did have relationships with women? Is it a spectrum? Is it a continuum? Is it an evolution? Do I call myself bisexual with my, you know, if you sum it all up, and it does look like
right.
That, but here's the thing. You know, if I fall in love with another guy, you know, and I've been with women, I think there's a point where if you're going to be in something committed that's monogamous and you share it because you're in love with a person, you're not just getting off with, you know, because you're just
right,
aroused.
Sure.
If you're in a kind of a committed relationship, you know, it's almost as if today you can't, they want you to just be able to have sex, you know, sex on demand anytime. But when it comes to relationships, do you rein it in for the sake of the emotional intimacy, the strength and the bond of that kind of, you know, and I'm old fashioned with some of, you know, that's where my life experience has brought me to.
Right.
You know, so I don't know that I would be with another woman again. I know I could function. But I had that experience so fully, I in a way I would be like being untrue to the mother of my children in a certain way. So I don't know.
Right.
I have a lot of questions even in my bisexual realm, and I think a lot of these kids in their early 20s with no life experience think they know it all about being bisexual. But when kids come along, relationships come along, those are the nuanced questions that do and will come about. And I'm afraid that we disparage these nuanced questions. They're just inconvenient, you know.
Right.
But when you're in your 20s and you're early 20s or whatever, and you're experimenting, here's what I want to say, and I'll end with this. Don't confuse your bisexual adolescence or any adolescence with how ultimately things are going to be what you will choose.
I think that's so true.
Adolescence and a bisexuality in an adolescence, that's great. But don't, you know, I think sometimes these young guys or girls in their bisexuality in their adolescence think they know it all.
Right.
We're just beginning. So
I think that's such a good point. And that's why I think it proves – it proves to me anyway, and of course that it's biological as much as anything else, because I think you can rationalize in your mind, like especially when you're young, you can rationalize being attracted to both guys and the girls. But I think it's truly like, I can't wrap my head around what it's like to be transgender. It doesn't compute with me because that's not the way I'm wired. It's not my biology. Bisexual, same thing. I can understand that, where I've been attracted to girls and I can understand the attraction, but I've never wanted to have a full commitment with them. And so I feel that was born gay. I can understand where people can feel they were born bi, where they were born transgender. It's such a personal biological event that I understand how it's freaky for some people, especially in the straight community, that don't understand it, because it's such a personal relationship in your own mind that it's very hard to explain. So yeah, it's tough. I agree. I think anyone as a kid, you're so confused with so many other things going on, just hormones alone is not going to be your biology down the line. So it's kind of crazy.
It's all very complicated, and it also there are gives and takes with things. And like,
sure,
it's more than arousal, but it's also more than just emotional connection too. So where does the arousal and the emotional intimacy, the romantic, where does that all come? And with gender and everything, it is fluid, it is real. But I think also it takes time for these things to, you just have to try on different things at different times and see. And in the fervor of adolescence, it doesn't mean that we become seasoned. So listen to your elder states, people out there, my young millennials. We're not just stupid or came out too late or whatever. It's complicated. So all of us
like
need to turn down on arrogance, including myself. So there we are.
I agree wholeheartedly. Well, let's end on a fun note. If you're listening out there, we kind of put it out on social media today. We've been doing this for 3 weeks. It's our third week where everything is recasting these days. Like we said, Roseanne is coming back. One Day at a Time is getting rebooted with a different cast. You have Will and Grace coming back. All these old shows are new again. So I've been having a segment for the last 3 weeks that I call Rinse, Recast, and Reboot, where we rinse out the old cast, recast it with a new cast, and then reboot the show. And there's no rules. So you can change up the gender, the age, the race, anything you want to do with it. So we've done so far the cast of Cheers, and we did the Three's Company. So this week it is Charlie's Angels, and we're only doing the main characters. We're doing Kelly, Sabrina, Jill, Bosley, and Charlie, because they recast themselves with four other girls down the line. So I chose a picture, but we're not going to recast them because they've recast themselves. But tell me, what did you, Almighty One, tell me your Charlie's Angels reboot, who you would cast?
Well, you know, I'm obsessed with Randy Rainbow right now. And so this Orbitz commercial got me thinking, and it's just been in the front of my mind. And I just, you know, today I just want to cast, Charlie's Angels out of the Orbitz commercial. And so what we have Randy Rainbow, and I think he should be Bosley, absolutely. And I think that we have Bianca Del Rio, and we have Miss Richfield, and we have Margaret Cho, and they end the commercial. So, you know, maybe they're the angels. I think that would be a fun, campy way. Oh, and the voice of Charlie will be RuPaul.
amazing! I love that. Very good. Very cool. I did two different ways. I think these things way too much. I created an all black cast. I changed the race of Charlie's Angels. I put Sabrina, who's the kind of the smart one. I put D.L. Hughley, the comic, because I think he's very, very funny, but he has that very streak to him, and he's a big political guy. So D.L. Hughley for Sabrina. For Jill, which is the pretty girl, the Farrah Fawcett one, I picked Daryl Stevens from Noah's Ark because I think he's one of the most beautiful men on the planet and such a nice guy.
Nice.
And for Kelly, which is kind of just like the fun girl, I picked Shamar Moore from that Criminal Minds. He's a fantastic actor. And for Bosley, I picked Steve Harris of Private Practice. He's too young for the role, but I just like him a lot. He has that big kind of assuming guy, and Bosley's kind of a bumbly guy, but he's there for the Angels when they need him. And for Charlie, I wanted the voice of James Earl Jones for my black cat. I thought that would be fun.
Nice.
And then I was going to go along your lines because I was thinking, well, I'll do a different cast too. And I thought the same thing. My very first pick, because I kind of go by the traits, I was thinking for Jill, which is the Farrah Fawcett character, kind of little pretty and little selfish. I was thinking Ashton Kutcher. So I was going to go the entire cast of That 70s Show for the rest of them. That would be funny. But I love that. I love that you picked Randy Rebo. That's an amazing group. If you guys have anyone out there, just go ahead and go to the social media. You can check me out at Left of Straight on Twitter and Instagram. Let me know who you would recast Charlie's Angels as. On Facebook, it's the Left of Straight Show is our Facebook page, and Scott Fullerton's my personal page. We'd be more than happy to friend you there. And give everyone your social media for us.
Right now I'm on Instagram at Stephen Fales Online, and my last name is Fales, F as in Frank, A-L-E-S, Stephen Fales, kind of an everyman name. And then we've got I'm on Mormon Boy at Twitter, and then of course I'm on Facebook a lot, where I have Confessions of a Mormon Boy page and my Stephen Fales page and Mormon Boy page. So you can learn more about my work right there.
And you have to follow Stephen because he has amazing pictures of all of his travels and all of his incarnations of Mormon Boy and all the work he's done. It's an amazing account to follow. Thank you so much for standing on my soapbox with me today, Stephen Fales.
My pleasure. I thanks for sharing the mic.
Any time with you, my friend. You have an open invitation. Well, guys, thanks so much for being here. We have two new Left of Straight shows next week. We have Standing on a Soapbox next week as well. Hope you listen. If you miss any episode, please download the absolutely free app on your iPhone, your Android, your tablet. Go to your app store, type in Left of Straight Radio. That's LEFTOFSTR and the number 8 radio. You'll get my free app right on your phone or tablet. Never miss an episode of anything. We're going to play out tonight with, since we're talking about gender issues and everything, this is Ginger Minj from RuPaul's Drag Race singing the iconic I Am What I Am. Stephen, stand the line for me. Thanks so much for being on the show. Talk to you all next week.
Bye-bye.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come, take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life. Not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise. I don't need pity. I bang my own drum. Some think it's noise. Well, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love this?
feather and each spangle. Why not try to see life from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out loud, I am what I am. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. I steal my own deck sometimes. Sometimes the deuces, there's one life, and there's no return and no deposit. One life, so it's time to open up your closet. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am.